Yes, very good morning and welcome to Saturday Live, where today we're upcycling Marion Keyes, writer, journalist, curator of the Dunleary Nail Varnish Museum, and a woman who would never knowingly walk past a second-hand opportunity.
Gilding the recycled lily, mosaic maker Ed Chapman talks about turning sugar cubes into Alan Sugar, Welsh slate into Richard Burton, and gravy stains into Andy Murray.
Such inventive thrift will appeal to Jordan Cox, King of the Couponiers, the lad who flew from Sheffield to Essex via Berlin to save £8 on his train fare.
And pimping a different sort of ride ocean swimmer, Adam Walker recalls inventing a new stroke after he accidentally shredded a bicep.
All these, plus JP Devlin amusing himself with pre-loved teapots and Tony Christie's restored inheritance tracks to come, but first.
That sounds so wrong. Welcome to our guests, to author Marion Keyes, ocean swimmer Adam Walker, Coupon King. I'd like to put in inject a few words that are local to you. Right, Adam, what about you?
I think in Nottingham it's all about me duck or ducky. So that's kind of all I can think
but where
of, really.
Why duck?
I don't know. It's just that it's kind of a term of affection. Mm. So you say, nice to see you, me duck. Or that. I mean, I don't say it, obviously. But yeah. But my mum used to say divinah, and she's a Geordie. So I quite like
know.
That. Don't know. Yeah, I don't know divinah.
They say duck around my way, too, a bit south in Northamptonshire. But I think it's just a way of...
You're getting competitive again.
About yeah. Oh, I know.
But I think it's just a way of sort of being affectionate without having to go to the trouble of remembering anyone's name.
Yes, oh. I think that's probably more to the point, yeah. Everyone's duck. Yeah.
Very useful. BBC Saturday Live. Now, the idea, just the idea, of ocean swimming probably either excites or terrifies you. It terrifies me. But that is what Adam Walker does. Now, once he sold toasters, now he's the only British person to have swum the Ocean's Seven Challenge. That's seven swims, including the English Channel and the Strait of Gibraltar. And I suppose I have to ask, really, what is the appeal? Because it just sounds terrifying.
Why don't I just stay selling kettles and toasters be on my sofa?
I don't know about that. Well, when you put it like that, but it's an extreme turnaround, isn't it, in career?
Yeah, I mean, I got inspired from a movie on an aeroplane about a guy swimming the English Channel. I thought, I wonder if I can do that.
And were you much of a swimmer before?
I hadn't swum for 8 years. And when I did, it was 50 metres backstroke. It was never front crawl and it was never long distance. So it was about conquering something you weren't good at. Yeah. I was in my late 20s, so to some people too old, and I just wanted to see how capable I was. And I saw it as the most extreme challenge of yourself, mentally and physically. And I thought, let's see how good you are, Adam.
Explain what it involves, because it's not just swimming. There's certain things you can and can't do. There's certain things you have to wear, not wear, etc.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can't wear a wetsuit. You can't touch the boat, so it's unassisted. So it's swim trunks, one hat, goggles and earplugs. And you have to swim from one area to another. So from Ireland to Scotland, for example, which we'd all recognise.
He just casually said,
yeah.
From Ireland to Scotland.
Yeah, well, it's better than getting the ferry. It takes a little bit longer, actually. That took 10 hours, 45 minutes. But yeah, I mean, the appeal is you're out there with nature. You know, it's you versus nature in a sense.
And it's freezing.
And let's not worry about the negatives. I mean, actually, I banned the word COLD for 7 years.
Yeah,
and even
see,
to say the word cold now, this is the hypnotherapy coming out and the psychology of it. But I banned certain negative words and I try and be positive all the time. Actually, it's helped me in my life, but we'll get on to that. But yeah, it's unassisted. So I can have a drink, which is thrown over the side, but I can't touch the boat. So I'm treading water. But the longer I tread water, the currents are pushing me backwards. So I need to keep moving forwards because later on, the currents can push me backwards a bit more and it can take another 5 or 6 hours to get in. In Hawaii, I was pushed back 5 hours. It took me 17 hours to complete that swim. It should have been 11 hours, and that's what you've got to come up against. So you're battling currents, wind, tide, temperature, marine life, jellyfish, stings, sharks, etc.
Yeah, what happened on your very first swim?
My very first swim, which was the English Channel, I was sick about 20 times, but a friend of mine sponsored me £1 every time I was sick for my charity, Well and Dolphin Conservation.
Aww.
So I made £20. As I was being sick, I was thinking, I just made another pound there. But actually, in all seriousness, when I got into 4 hours, I looked at the boat and I thought, I can't do this, because you burn 1,100 calories an hour. So if you're sick, you're burning that, but you're not taking any fuel in. And you've only so many reserve calories in your body. You've got about 2,500 carbohydrate calories. So actually, you can hit the wall and then hit the wall again and then hit the wall again. But what you realise, actually, you're never as tired as you think you are, and willpower can get you so much more. So I've never actually hit my limit. I never talk about hitting my limits. But it taught me a lot. it taught me a lot about overcoming adversity. That was 4 hours in. I swam 11 and a half hours to beat that one. But as I went on, something happened to me in every swim. So, for example, in Hawaii, I got stung by a Portuguese man of war. I lost feeling in my spine. I pulled tentacles off my stomach after 13 and a half hours. That was after being pushed back 5 hours in the darkness. And I'm yelling in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
You're really selling this, you know.
No, good bit's coming in a minute.
Okay.
The positive message coming. So I'm floating in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and my brain goes, you can't do this. The devil and the angel, the devil on the shoulders going, you are finished. I don't care how much you've trained for this. I don't care how much you've completed. You're finished. And then the angel, which is very small, is trying to talk to the devil, which is still me, saying, just one arm in front of the other, Adam. Everybody can do one more arm. Just give yourself a minute. So I reassessed, did a minute. Then I couldn't flatten out in the water because I was in so much pain. I lost feeling in my spine. I thought I'm potentially going paralyzed. I did another minute, and then I did another checkpoint. There's the boat. If I can get level with the boat, that's a checkpoint to continue. So I got level with the boat. Everyone leant forward to pull me out. I did a fake smile, and then I carried on. And I swam 3.5 hours. But the lesson there is you're never as bad as you think you are. And the brain got me through. Physically, I felt I'd had it. And I couldn't even get my legs up, but I've managed to swim another 3.5 hours, sideways actually,
The thing is this, that, you know, that's the wonderful story, and that's how I wanted the story to end, you know, obviously with a kind of happy ending and I kept going. But I mean, are there not times where perhaps people like you or other ocean swimmers push themselves too far and too fast because it actually has an impact on their health?
You have to respect the sport and you have to build up piece by piece. Mm. You know, when I started this, I did 5 hours in the pool non-stop. It took me 5 months to do that from nothing.
Right.
So very first swim was 45 minutes, rolled myself on the side, coughed my guts up and then thought, what am I doing here? And then went in the next day and built up to it. And then I had to go in open water, but I decided to go in February when there was frost on the ground, which wasn't the most sensible thing. I got hypothermia, 5 paramedics, and it was a huge lesson to treat it with the respect it deserves. So it woke me up to it. And now I'm ambassador of the Royal Life Saving Society, so the anti-drowning charity, and I want people to get out there and swim. I want the UK to enjoy open water swimming like I do because it's got so many health benefits. It's such a great sport, but you have to be sensible with it. You know, I have a safety boat next to me. I have a team that watch me, and I've built up piece by piece. No, I wouldn't expect somebody to just jump in tomorrow and swim the English Channel. That wouldn't be sensible. But with me, I started with one, which actually turned into 7. It was going to be one swim, and it turned into 7 toughest in the world. But I learned from each swim, you know, in terms of the training. So don't just jump in there, but you have to do things in the right way.
So tell me about the psychology of it all then. You've mentioned hypnotherapy, you've mentioned certain words being banned. What has helped you?
From a mental side, 80% mental, 20% physical, this sport. When I say 20% physical, of course, you have to swim all day and a bit more at times. But mentally, it's blocking out those demons. So when you're sick, to a lot of people, when you're sick in life, that is, you know, obviously an issue. And, I'm really poorly. And for me, it was part of it. So actually, in my mind, it didn't become an issue. It was just part of the process. And then I then upped the level. So then I'm stung by a Portuguese man of war. I swam with one arm across the Catalina Channel for 6 hours, but it's not as bad as a Portuguese man of war in my mind. In Ireland to Scotland, the coldest ocean to swim, one of the hardest in the world, but it's not as bad as a Portuguese man of war. So for me, the mental side is absolutely pivotal, but you have to really look at yourself, think about what you're focusing on. Mm. So if you feel the temperature, block it out, visualise being warm, swimming in a warm ring. And lots of positives.
And finding a way around things. I mean, you shredded a bicep, and that would have been perhaps career-ending, some people might have thought, but you've developed a way of a new stroke.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had a ruptured bicep tendon. Actually, before I started training for this, I didn't know I had this problem. I took a save in water polo, I played in goal, and I had to manage the training. And I swam the English Channel. I found out I had a ruptured bicep tendon while swimming the English Channel. The surgeon said, do you ever want to swim again? I said, yes, I want to swim from Spain to Morocco, which he laughed hysterically. And I said, no, for leisure, Adam. So then I said, Spain to Morocco is leisure for me. So then what I had to do was retrain myself. I thought, OK, for once in your life, Adam, you're going to learn to swim an efficient way. because I swam really flat. It was all about brute strength. Every sport that I did, I ran flat-footed. I had bad knees. You know, I just never did anything sort of conventional. And I wanted to be the best I could possibly be. So I looked at these sports like golf, boxing, discus, shot put. They're all in the hips. They're all core movements. Mm. So why is swimming about the chest and shoulders? Why do we forget the core? When we walk around now, we engage our core to stay upright. So that is where the power source is. So if I can use that as a power source that takes me away from the shoulders and chest, then I can save my shoulders. So what I do is I rotate hip to hip, 90 degrees to 90 degrees, less mass going through the water, and it creates a spring which shoots me forward, and I glide 2-3 metres, which means I'm now 1,200 strokes less an hour.
Are you talking synchro swimming here, Adam?
It's all about effortless swimming. And actually, do you know what, though? It became a business as a result of that. And people are calling it the ocean walker technique, and I teach people around the world this technique now, and it saved me. And I ended up doing, as I say, 6 more channels and a 2-way Windermere, which is 21 miles. So I really want to encourage people to swim more efficiently and get out there, because it doesn't have to be the kind of flat, splashy way. You know, that's not where our fish goes through the water. A dolphin goes from side to side. They don't just splash around like us.
Well, you should see our see our swimming techniques. We will talk more about this now and 10:30, and I'm sure that people will have questions. 84844 is the text number, and Man v Ocean, which is your book, is out.
Man versus Ocean.
Man versus Ocean is out now. Now, this is Saturday Live with Richard Coles.